And today we celebrate Father's Day. There's no following up with these young people, so it's Father's Day. Happy Father's Day to our fathers. We had dads and donuts today. Hopefully you got a donut as you came in. If you didn't, we have donuts for you. Would you do me a favor? Fathers, stand up. Anyone that's father, been a father, whatever, stand up if you would. All fathers, stand up. Let's give them some honor today. All right, go ahead and have a seat. Today's message, it's a little bit different. It's making happy Father's Day. Does that make sense? Making happy Father's Day. And we're going to look in Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to look at some examples that God has given us and things we want to follow. And things we want to do. And it was kind of interesting as I was down at Falls Creek. I was thinking about this and I thought, we want to celebrate fathers. And it's possible that maybe today, again, that your father was not a good role model. He was not a good example. Maybe your father wasn't there and you're growing up. Maybe he had just moved on. Maybe he had passed away. But we know that we have a Father in heaven that we can turn to. And I know we may say that I want that earthly father that I could have learned things from, that could have taught me things. And I'm missing what my friends have. Or I'm missing that love that my friend had from his father. Because you see, my father, he didn't operate that way. Now mine did, but I'm saying, you may be saying to yourself, my father was not that way. But I hope today's message gives you peace. And what we're looking at today is making our fathers happy. So when we take it away from ourselves and say, hey, it's my day today, it's Father's Day, what are you doing for me? We still need to think, it's Father's Day. How can I please my father? How can I make him happy? First Philippians, as we look at this, we're going to start verse 19 of chapter 1. Did I say First Philippians again? Philippians chapter 1. I have Philippians 1, but for some reason I keep wanting to. It is the first and only Philippians. So turn to 1 Philippians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 19. And it says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. Let me stop just there a minute. Because I love that. Earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed. I think if we look, let's say the past week even, what did I do that I may be ashamed of if Jesus Christ walked up to me and said, hey, tell me what you did and said this last week. Oh. And he says, we've got to live this way. That in nothing I will be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body. He'll be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. And I love verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. And we've heard that before. But I really want us to think about that. To live is Christ. To die is gain. But if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell. Now I like what he says in verse 23. He says, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart to be with Christ, which is far better. But he says, nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Notice he didn't say, it's more needful for me. He said, for me to remain in the flesh and for me to stay here, it's more beneficial for you. So he's already outside of himself saying, this isn't about me. But me staying here is really about you. So I need to stay here. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Okay, that sounds good. But listen to the next verse. He says, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, whether I'm here or not, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And I couldn't help but think about Falls Creek. Whether I come visit you guys or not, I want to hear about good reports. Now I hope I get to come visit, but let your actions and your words speak of the weak and say what happened down there and speak of your character, whether I come or not. And that's kind of what he's saying here. Whether I'm there or not, I want to hear about you. I want to hear about your conduct and your behavior. And he says, well, we've got to look at these different things. Down in Falls Creek, it was fascinating. I know some of you went to visit down there. And I know as parents, you want to make sure that someone is looking after your kids. And I know that was a comfort to some of you to see that your kids were being taken care of and watched out for. We had watchful eyes and hands making sure that kids didn't get lost and kids were being taken care of and kids were being partnered and watched out for. Andrew and Jim watched out well for each other. I heard there's a new bromance brewing between Andrew and Jim. I'm just telling you, whether I'm there or not, these are the things that come back. These are the reports. But it's fantastic when they get along. And what I love, Andrew just came in the back door. We're talking about your new bromance, Andrew, with Jim. Oh, yeah. But I love that before that thing is over, they're talking about, what do we do next year? What's going on next year? Looking out after one another. So let's skip over to Philippians chapter 2. We're still in 1 Philippians chapter 2. And it says, you know, I love having fun with the body of Christ. It says, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy. How? By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And listen to verse 3. He says, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. And that's the beauty that I loved at Falls Creek, to see people watching out for the interest of others. Rather than saying, I'm going here, I know you've never been here, and you may be off in a corner thinking, I don't know what to do. I'm going here. No, no, no. You have people constantly going up to each other and encouraging them. Hey, come with us. Hey, we're going here. Do you want to go? Hey, let me show you around this place. Including our leaders and our sponsors, taking people and showing them around and encouraging that fellowship. Let each of you look out not only for your own interest, but also for the interest of others. We've got decisions that were made here. We have people that want to find their way into some type of ministry. We have opportunity to talk to these young people and say, what is it that you want to do? I don't know, I felt God really pulling on me. What is it that you like to do? Where we take an interest in them. And I know sometimes you may think, oh, we've got to watch another video. How long will it be? But that was their week crammed into one song. Several pictures, one week. And it's important to them. And that we put ourselves outside, we take and put ourselves outside of ourselves. And say, this is about them. Now be careful, fathers. I know you're thinking, I could have sworn my calendar said it's Father's Day and it's printed on there and I didn't see it printed Falls Creek Day. And that's true. But in our church, when they return, it becomes their day. And it becomes about them. I remember your daughter. First time she went, and there was that little that same keyboard. He said, "Do you think she could play that?" "What? Can she? Boy, can she? Yes." And in less than 3 weeks, she'll be getting married. But several years ago, she was here. And some of you are, several years ago, our leaders were here. You know? And that's what I love. When I see them growing up and doing things, and I hear the responses of the parents, and I see what they say, and I see the smiles on the faces when we read those decisions, when we talk about those young people coming, and what they did and what they're doing. And holding each other accountable. It becomes more than just ourselves. The next several verses talks about Christ humbling himself. And it says that we too should humble ourselves. And then therefore be united in our humility in Christ. Chapter 2 verse 12. It says, "Therefore my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence." Now let's just go to that again. Let's stop right there. You've got children. You've got children. Many of you have children. It's like saying, "Hey, they obeyed me in my presence. But when you were gone, were they obeying?" No one's looking. Let me poke little Johnny in the eyes. No one's looking. You know, let me do this or that. Oh, my parents are in the room. And they stand like that. But this says, whether I'm here or not, and it goes back in that same thing. As you have always obeyed, not as in my presence, but even when I'm absent. And then it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without complaining and disputing. I remember us talking about that a couple weeks ago. I said, man, we look at sin and it says, but stop complaining. Stop grumbling. Stop having these arguments over nothing. It says, do all things without complaining and disputing. Why? I always like asking why. That you may become blameless and harmless. Blameless and harmless what? Children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Look what's going on around us, church. In this city, in this state, in this country, in this world. And in the midst of that, when we had these young people standing here, I said, look in their eyes. Look at them as individuals rather than saying, that's ground zero. Now it's saying, this is ground zero. And this is ground zero. And this, and each one is ground zero. Which in turn makes each one prayer of faith. Which makes each one the body of Christ. Why do we do these things? That we may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Don't think for a second that your actions today or yesterday or tomorrow don't matter in the big picture. They do. You never know where you'll run into people. I'll never forget a young man in our youth group years ago. He talked about Eric's daughter and he said, I always see you at school. You don't see me, but I see you. And you walk the walk and you talk the talk. And he said, I've always admired that from afar. We never know who's looking and watching our actions. We never know where we'll run into people. On the road or whatever. I just want to tell that so bad, but I won't. Your actions and your words, they do matter today and tomorrow and last week. Those words that you said, they hurt last week and they still hurt today. But we want to do these things without complaining, without disputing, so that we can be children of God that are blameless and harmless in the midst of all this. So people look at it and say, that's a Christian person. Yeah, we're going to have faults and we're going to make mistakes. But in the big picture, we're trying and we're desiring to follow this pattern and to follow this way. Okay, so I want us to hold our place in this book. Flip back a couple books. So hold your place. Hold that spot in your Bible. We're coming back to it. And I want you to turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just a couple books in front of that. This one actually does have a first and second, so we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Usually I don't hear I made those kind of mistakes till after the sermon's over and I'm on my way home or something, but all right, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I want us to look at verse 1 through 13. And it says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud. All passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased." Why not? It says, "For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." You know, we talk about making happy fathers today. That's a father that's not well pleased right now. And they're clarifying, saying, hey, when in the Old Testament, when these things happen, and the Israelites were going through, and you think that all these things are happening in perfect order, there was a lot of unfaithfulness. I don't want you to be unaware that this happened this way. I want you to know that, boom, when this happened, for most of them, God was not well pleased, and their bodies were scattered. And he goes on to say in verse 6, "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as were some of them. As it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink, and they rose up to play." We're going to eat, we're going to drink, and we're going to play and have our fun. And we're going to be disobedient. And I'm almost so sick of hearing that phrase, "I got to be me." I don't know what that means. That to me says, I got to be disobedient. You know, depending on what setting people are using that in. But it says, "Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did." Now listen to this. Those that are sexually immoral. "And in one day, 23,000 fell." That's a lot of people falling. "Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain." Those that love to complain, "nor complain, as some of them also complained, they were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened to them as examples." He's saying these things happened for a reason. They happened as an example, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. "Therefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall." This goes back into that humility thing. When we think we have it all figured out, be careful, church. Because we'll be the first to fall. We've had visitors here before, and I said, "Man, I don't want you to think that we've got it all figured out here. But we're trying hard to figure it out. And we want to do it together as a body of believers. And I personally want to have fun while we're doing it." First Philippians, you know, I can't help but laugh at myself. But I want to enjoy the journey. Now, that didn't mean it's all going to be happy and funny and pleasurable and all those things. But let's come together. And let's do this as a church body. But we don't have it figured out. The minute we think we do, we'll be the first ones to fall. "Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man." Well, what hope do we have in that? It says, well, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with the temptation, he will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And we have to think every now and then that we have a way to escape that. And by the way, when there's this big wide open door and that's our escape and we're ignoring that, God's saying, I don't know how much more plain to make this. There's a big door. It says detour this way. And you said, think about the road out front. We've talked about that before. When they had the road closed, detour, go around. And you see people going, I think I can make it. And they get down there and then they find out there's a 2-foot crater from the dirt to the pavement at the other end. And you see them driving back up. And that's us sometimes. I know it said go around, but I really think I can make it through this. Think about it. When you've gone through things, how many of you said, I think I can get myself out of this mess that I got myself into? And sometimes it's pretty simple. You say, I can. I just got to back up. I got to turn around and go the other way. But man, some of you just get bogged down in the mud. And you're up to your axles in mud. And you think, I'm in trouble. And that's usually where you call on the church and say, man, I'm a mess. I got my truck stuck again. And when I say the church, I'm not talking about our church specifically. I'm talking about the church in general. People do that all the time. And you think, you've got to understand that God isn't going to give you more than you can handle. It is common, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond that what you are able. But he says, with the temptation, he is also going to show you a way of escape so that you can bear it. Now let's flip back to where we were in Philippians. And just know that God is faithful. He's going to provide a way of escape when temptation comes along. And we're about ready to close. So Philippians chapter 4. In verse 8 and 9. And I love this, and we've talked about this before many times. And it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on it. It means focus and think. And give your attention to that. Meditate on these things. We can find a negative and just go to town on that. We can find a negative with a person, with a business, with a product, whatever. And we can't look past that. All we see is this glaring problem that got under our skin. But it says, meditate on these things that are praiseworthy. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. How many of you could use the God of peace? I can. Whether he's with us all the time. Maybe he's drifted away or we've drifted away. But it says, do these things. Do these, and the God of peace will be with you. Meditate on it. God of peace, he'll be there. We want to make our Father happy. And today, as we celebrate Father's Day, I want to focus on making the Father in heaven happy. Because in the end, we are his sons and daughters. And in the end, that is the only inheritance that truly matters. Amen? You don't have to turn there, but I'm going to read out of Colossians 3. In Colossians 3, 18 through 24, it says, wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. And you know, church, we can move very quickly past that. But I want to read that one more time. And I want you to truly think about this, husbands and wives out there. Wives, submit to your own husbands as is fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Moving on to children. By the way, we're all children. Verse 20, children, obey your parents in all things. In all things. I'm going to stop there before I press on. You know, I'm in my 50s, and my trip to Albuquerque, my twin brother went in the same vehicle, and my mother. It was quite trying for all of us, let alone my poor mother. And we stayed in one hotel room. And those of you that know me and or my brother, or worse yet, the both of us, 11:30 at night, we're sitting up on the bed and we start doing this. Stop it. Stop it. Stop. Mom, he won't. This is a true story. This was less than a week ago. My sister went with us. She brought, no offense, but I'm sorry, she brought a blind cane and black glasses. I don't know why, just for fun. She also brought a battery-operated megaphone. Driving down the highway, having your brother hit the siren on that thing in your ear is no fun. So my mother whipped out that cane and said, "Behave yourselves, boys, or I'll use this on the both of you." And I thought, good grief. You know, we're in our 50s entertaining. We were having a blast. Till my brother knocked the orange pop over on me, my lap, the bed, and the floor. It turned ugly after that. It was not well pleasing what I said. But anyway, children, obey your parents at any age, in all things at any age, for this is well pleasing to the Lord, and I assure you it is well pleasing to your parents. Children, obey your parents in all things. Now listen, that includes God the Father. Amen? Obey them in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. He goes on to say, fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. And I thought, man, we've got to continue focusing on pleasing Him and doing His will. Verse 23, whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing from the Lord that you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. And I thought again, that is the only inheritance that matters in the end. The other inheritance that we have here on earth, those are earthly things. But in heaven, that is the inheritance and the reward that we want to aim for. And strive for. And I'll close with this from Hebrews chapter 13. It's a benediction and final exhortation and farewell. And I liked it because of just how it ended it. And it says, now may the God of peace who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. As we leave today, two things I want us to think about on this Father's Day. I want us to think about our youth group. I'm telling you, when I went down there Friday and just watch them and witness them having fun, eating, working, being disciplined and orderly. When I watch them in the tabernacle service worshiping and praising God. When I watch them writing notes as the speaker spoke. I thought, we're in good hands. And as I watched our leaders, our cook, I knew we also were in great hands. Well done, good and faithful servants. Amen. The second thing is, I want you to think about making happy fathers. It's very easy to focus on ourselves on Father's Day. I desire a foot rub and a back rub, by the way. And that's my focus. But on today, I thought, really my desire is elsewhere. It's to please my Father. And it's to please my Father in heaven through my actions and through my words. Where I've fallen short, and I assure you I have, I want to get better and stronger in those. Let's bow our heads today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the fruit that we have seen. First off, Lord, in our own youth group, in our own church body, but also for the Midwest City Free Methodist Church that we partnered with, Lord. We thank you for the fruit of that church and that youth group and that church body. Lord, then we multiply and magnify that. We thank you for the decisions. Just in the first 2 weeks alone, Lord, we know there's six more weeks. Lord, we pray now for those young people that will be attending. We pray for those leaders, Lord. Those mentors, those leaders, those youth pastors, sponsors, cooks. Lord, those people driving them down there. Lord, we look at every aspect. And we pray for results to be multiplied and magnified. And as they spoke in False Creek, Lord, he said the toughest time is as soon as you head back to church. Lord, we pray for the enemy to be just destroyed in our youth group. We pray for the Lord to be magnified in our youth group. Lord, in our church body, we pray for the enemy to be destroyed here. And to be defeated. We know that the enemy has already been defeated. He has already been defeated. And we pray for strength in Jesus Christ. And we pray for the Holy Spirit to move in amazing ways. Lord, we pray for those decisions to be multiplied in the homes of those young people where they go back. We pray for those decisions to be multiplied and magnified in the halls of school as they return to school. And in the workplace for those who work, Lord. Lord, as a church body, we want to stand back and fan the flames of the spark and the fire that is within them. Lord, today we honor the fathers that are here today. From the first-time fathers to those that have had many children, Lord, we want to honor them today. We thank you for the fathers, Lord. We ask you that fathers all over America, Lord, all over this world, step into a role and embrace the role of a godly father, leading their family, leading their homes. Lord, we ask for you to just bring them rest today. Bring them joy today, no matter what they're going through, that you bring them joy. And ultimately, God, we want to honor you as our Father, where you look at us and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." Lord, today, help us as we go out. Help guide and direct our path, our actions towards one another. And Lord, help guide and direct our tongues as we speak to those we know and don't know. Lord, let us be ambassadors of Christ, carrying with us everywhere we go the aroma of Christ, being light and salt to those we come in contact with. Lord, help us be excited to serve you and better to serve one another. Reflecting your light and your love and all those we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen.